quelle justice? Il n'y a rien sur la glace à ce moment-là.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Are you okay? I don't know, fasten your seatbelts or fast forward or whatever you want to do. Put it on double speed if you haven't already. It is Friday, September 9th. I got a class this afternoon, my first with a new group, but so far I think there's only 7 or 8 students. There's a good chance it'll get canceled or they'll offer me something else. If it's the same level, I'd take it on a different day. If it's a different course, I don't think I will, because that just means double the preparation, you know, and a whole lot more shit to do with it. Ugh, no. It's just not fair. You know, you'd get the same money, but you'd have a hell of a lot more work. That's just the way it works there. And this is after they just dropped our salaries 2 years ago. Just like that. Redefined all the jobs. Anyway, I'm not going to bitch about work. I enjoyed my first class on Wednesday. And we'll see what happens today. Every year I bitch about the schedule. Oh my God, I got the worst possible schedule. And then within 1 week, I've adjusted. Hey, this is fine. This is great. The only thing I have not adjusted to is working in the portables where you do not have like a desk-mounted screen of your own. You've got a computer. You've got a projector. You know, and a computer to go with it. But everything you do is seen by the class. You can't hide. You can't check something up or research something. It's shown on this screen. There's no other way. And what kind of a fucking situation? They've just built a brand new culinary arts building and residence, and they've got a beautiful brand new library with state-of-the-art classrooms. Oh, well, we can't get them. We're just sent out to the shit pack out and back. And that really is not right. Hey, come on. And again, this is the same college that puts in a state-of-the-art foot-washing station outside the common prayer room. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, yeah, there's going to be some bitching going on. Let me start with the anger core. The anger core. I'm glad about that show. I'm really glad that Jason, and that's Jason with an E, has really stepped up. And he's put out shoes. He's working with people. He's come up here twice for the conferences in Hamilton, or conferences, not unconferences, not even that. And he's not even a drinker, you know, to his credit, man. He'll still come up and hang out. So good for him. And so this is to you, Jason, a salute. I always talk about the other Jason, the up in this brain Jason, but this is to Jason. And so he's put out a podcast called The Anger Core, and it does sort of take place in a way of the disculture, just because he does stuff, topical stuff in the news. It's not a tech thing, and it's not always a culture thing, but it's stuff to talk about, and he gets people on, and Brent the Closet Geek, formerly my partner in Gappage, we just don't seem to be able to get together at all, is on that, and sometimes up in this brain Jason, and last time was Shane, and so there's a lot of interaction. It's good. This is, to me, what makes podcasting. It's community building, interacting. Hey, this good pod Joel was on one of the episodes. It was a great one. So wonderful. Great. But this shouldn't mean we can't sort of bitch and comment and say things that we don't agree with, because if you get to that point, then it's a very artificial friendship. You know, it's based on, you like this, but if it's something you don't like, well, you don't dare say it. No, it doesn't work that way. It's got to work both ways. So as much as I'm saying congratulations, I'm saying, hey, surely you are not serious about taking baseball bats to rapists. I'm not going to go into the details. I can't even remember the guy's name. I'm not going to look it up. Somebody who just got off a very, very light sentence. A white boy who just, you know, the judge, oh, well, maybe he's learned his lesson or whatever. The fault was purely with the judge. who did not give an appropriate sentence. This was wrong on all counts. And he's the one who should be held accountable. If a kid gets a good lawyer and gets off, well, I'll also blame the scumbag lawyers, but hey, that's their job too. But the idea of vigilante justice. Now, I'm sure the, you know, if I put a baseball hat, baseball bat in Jason's hand, who claims he doesn't know the house where this guy lives, Jason would not beat him about the head with a baseball bat. He just wouldn't do it. And hopefully if somebody else was doing it, Jason would step in and say, hey, this is not justice. This is not the way we do things or should do things. Okay? So that's the other point. But even vocalizing it, even talking about it or not calling Jason on it, as Brent didn't or Shane and Shane Burley didn't, that's... This is... Rape is wrong. We know that. We have a justice system. The justice system failed, as it does in many, many, many cases. Think about the kid who suffered from affluenza. Had too much, didn't know the difference between right and wrong. He got off. Rich family, you know? And then think about all the people who got off service in Vietnam, going back a few generations. Lawyers and rich, good connections and all that shit. There's injustice everywhere. So to single out, to make even a story about this one story, where the focus should have been on the justice system, not on the guy, because why pick on that rapist? Why not every other fucking racist out there? There is so much. And the idea that, oh no, we can just sort of take it into our own hands and deal with it. And I know that's not exactly what they're saying, but even just to me, anything to do with physical violence is wrong. And like the number of people, okay, a child molester, great, get him in jail and let them cut his balls off. That's not justice, folks. People who kill children. There's a sickness. All of this is to do with sickness. Deal with the sickness. Lock them up. Hey, take them off the streets. Multiple serial killers. Don't put them to death as an act of revenge. You've already got them. Study them. Put them in a cell. Don't give them a... Maybe, I don't think... You may let them write a book if they want to. Maybe you'll learn something from it. But find out why. Find out where. Find out how we can use this information to prevent something like this happening in the future. It's just that. It's just that mindset. And every time I hear when they catch somebody who's, you know, molested children or something, yes, it's sick. It's wrong. I'm not saying anything about letting that person go or feeling sorry for them, although that probably is a better approach. But study, find out. Learn from it. It isn't about punishment or revenge, because when you do that, you're the same as the fucking mullahs out there to cut somebody's hand off, or Saudi Arabia. Oh, here we are. There's something to get really excited about. The guy claimed to not believe in God. 2,000 lashes, $7,000 fine or whatever, and 10 years in jail. And how do you think that jail sentence is going to be? You think he's going to come out of that intact? I don't think so. These are huge issues that have to be tackled as a society, as a civilization, as a culture. It's not about the individual stories. It's about what kind of a world do we want to live in. And I don't want to live in a world where people say, that guy did it, he needs to have his head bashed in with a baseball bat, okay? So that's all. I'm not directing this particularly, specifically at the folks on the anger core. It just prompted me to raise this issue. It was when I was in church here, the time we had somebody come in and speak, because Greta was off. I'm coming to that topic, believe me. And he just mentioned, hey, for these people who are guilty of child molestation, we need to understand that it isn't about just punishment. And that's where I'm coming from, okay? So I'm sort of done with that. Not really angry about it, but I feel I have to step up. And any comments from anybody about, yeah, man, if I had a gun, I'd shoot that fucker right in the head. Now, you're saying, well, dude, what about if it was your kid? Yeah, maybe I would give in to my baser instincts and just want to smash the person in the face, but with my fist. I wouldn't do it with a baseball bat. It would have to be my own fist. It have to be my body. It have to be coming from me directly without a weapon. I know that may sound like a silly, whoa, so what? Yeah. And not with 10 of my friends. Okay, let's park that. I am parked, speaking of, outside West Hill United Church because the ruling came down yesterday and Greta Vosper will be defrocked, and that does not mean what it sounds like. That means she was deemed not fit to serve in the church. It was a very nasty thing, a very stupid thing, a very wrong thing, but the thing that everybody expected, right? That some narrow-minded people within the United Church of Canada deemed it that, what is it? If it is one of you short said I've posted on my Facebook page, if you want to do it. The Toronto Conference Ministry Personal Review Committee has found me unsuitable, it says Greta's post, for ministry in the United Church of Canada. Toronto Conference has posted the report in the committee on its website. You may read it here. And it's been reported on the news. She was on Canada radio this morning. She'll be on television this afternoon, probably. It's all over the newspapers. And we knew it was coming. But you've taken the United Church, you stupid, stupid, narrow-minded, ignorant, I was going to say bigoted, but I can't prove that, but just narrow-minded, ignorant, backwards-thinking, conventional, thick-headed, blind people have made a very, very foolish decision by taking the one person who inspires countless people, not just myself, but I certainly am one of them, and just said, well, no, can't have that. She doesn't believe in God the way we do. Doesn't preach the word of God and Jesus Christ and use the Bible as the standard. So there's no room for that. Now, there's so many people out there who just, including, you know, probably my son, my wife, just, no. If you don't believe in God, you can't be a minister. But the whole thing goes to the root of, well, what is Christianity? My argument has always been, it's not a religion, it's a philosophy, it's a way of life, it's what you do. And of course, Greta, every single week, preaches and talks about how to be a better human. What is it we have to do? How can we inspire each other? How can we help each other? It sets an example that is just amazing, has a congregation behind her that are just so supportive and so much involved and changed and bettered because of our interactions with Greta. And it's very sad that certain people within the United Church cannot see that, cannot see the good she's doing, do not have the love within them to tolerate a different view. They do not have the love. And surely, surely, surely everybody knows that's the message of Christianity. It's love and understanding. Christ would be giving her a big hug right now, if he existed. And come on, joking there. You know that. He would see this. Yes, yes, Greta, my beloved child. Thank you, thank you. But it's not the way a lot of people see it. Fortunately, if you go to Greta's website, go to Greta's blog, go on the internet, go on our Facebook group, visit westhillunited.net, I believe, you will find an incredible outpouring of support from others, including ministers and other like-minded individuals and congregation and people all over the world coming out in support and saying, what a sad day for the United Church. What a backward step. They had trouble enough when they had to accept gays, women before then. But now, oh my God, they just cannot go that distance and accept somebody who has referred to herself as an atheist. Oh my God, we can't cross that line. We daren't. Who knows what'll happen? Well, what'll happen, sadly, is your numbers will continue to dwindle, you idiots! You backwards-thinking idiots! This was a step forward for the church, for bringing in new people, for opening the doors. And you've closed it. You've shut it down. You've said, no, no, no. Naughty, naughty. So I could go on, but I know I'll get carried away and maybe say something silly and give ammunition to the people who disbelievers, but disbelievers in Greta and believers in that old-time religion. Oh, yeah. So it's unfortunate, and that's why today I chose to come to the parking lot of West Hill United in my little show of support to say that, wow, did they make a bad call? I've got, there's a 20-page document in front of me, or more, what, 60 pages, who knows, 39 pages. What is your understanding? Let's just look at this. What is your understanding of God? Ms. Vosper chose to answer this question using the words of the basis of union, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Ms. Vosper said she does not believe in a Trinitarian God composed of three persons equal in essence, a being who presides over earth, who does, and another realm, a supernatural one from which it has the power to intervene in the natural world, who does, capriciously or by design, by responding to our prayerful requests or altering our minds and so to our actions, or intervening in the natural world with or without provocation or invitation in order to alter weather patterns, health, the accumulation or loss of wealth, the circumstances of birth, including geography, a predictor of health and access to food and water, gender, sexuality, mental capacity, or beauty, all predictors of the power status and ease with which individuals will live their lives, then no, she does not believe in that at all. Oh, am I ever glad I just scrolled through and found that passage, because that is what it's about. And apologies to anybody else who does out there, who are friends of mine, who, yes, believe in God the Father Almighty and the person whose prayers, who can answer your prayers if they choose to. But maybe you're not deserving of it, so they choose not to, because you haven't learned your lesson yet. I know, I have pretty strong opinions, but hey, you know, that's what this is all about. Being ourselves, being true to ourselves, and that's why I feel so comfortable and I'm so happy to have found a place here in Scarborough, of all places. Here, the building I'm looking at right now, West Hill United, and who knows what's going to happen after this, because if Greta is kicked out, if they tried to bring in another minister, bam! Because this congregation, this growing congregation, is fully supported. We want Greta. We want Greta. We don't want somebody else coming in and saying, well, sorry, I believe in the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, and all that shit, and I'll see what I can do to straighten you folks out, because clearly you have been misguided. No, that's not going to work. So, the options, I don't really want to think about them. This will go on a little bit for a while. They won't just be booting her out. This may go to trial. This may be a court case. I mean, this is, you know, you could argue this is discriminatory. Obviously, there is discrimination here. And I don't want to go, I don't want to explore that now. You stay tuned, follow the papers if you're interested. Google Greta Vosper, that's G-R-E-T-T-A. V-O-S-P-E-R, or West Hill United. And you'll find out a lot of information. So yeah, the congregation will not be happy. We're having a board meeting Tuesday, an elements meeting Wednesday. Service, of course, next Sunday. Drop by sometime while it and we are still here. Whether we'll have to move on, whether, you know, a lot of people say, well, she can just start her own group. I think my hope was that she would stay within the United Church and inspire others, and more people would come out, and more people would join us, and other ministers would start speaking what they really feel inside but are afraid to share with their congregation. Okay? But instead, they've circled the wagons, they've drawn in, they're afraid of what's out there, and the United Church is just sort of digging itself into a hole. All right, that's 20 minutes, I'm done. Thank you for listening. I had to do that, but now I've got to do other things in the other world that feeds me. Get home and get ready to teach this afternoon. I did do one thing. I did go and fill up our propane tank. Hey, that's something. And that's what brought me here, Kingston Road. Boys and girls, listeners of the Dixon Janes podcast, I hope you're still with me. I didn't even get to go on much about road trip. I did put my first post up today, my very first post on the Road Trek owners group. And let them know how disappointed I was, or how discouraged, or how upset, how worried I was with reading all the posts about everything that's gone wrong. And people said, hey, these are just the people who are posting problems. There's all the other happy campers out there. Don't worry about it. These things happen. Problems get fixed. But there were a lot of problems. And then, sure enough, a post after that came out of a woman who bought a brand new, the one I want, $20, it was 2016, Xeon SRT, bam, called in for a transaxle factory recall after having a whole lot of the inside stuff needing to be repaired. She bought it in May. She's been out once, I think, and hasn't had access to it since June because of all the repairs. Wow! This is a new vehicle. We are talking over $100,000. This ain't right. So, that is perhaps a warning to me to say, hey, do you really, really, really want the headaches? Could all of this be a huge mistake? Can I possibly come out the other side, you know, exit this rabbit hole and surface somewhere else with a completely different perspective of what I want to do with the next 5 years of my life? And I just don't know the answer to that. So stay tuned, because the Dixon Janes podcast never stays still. Or at least my life doesn't. And hey, this is a reflection of my life. So there you go. Scarborough Dude. Feeling happy, oddly. Signing out. Thank you. Check. Check. Oh, yeah. Happy Monday to you. Or whenever you're listening to this. Happy whatever. Hope you're feeling okay. But actually, if you're feeling shitty and down, maybe this will cheer you up a bit. I doubt it, but hey. All right, at the very least, it's going to fill in some time, all right? That's all I'm promising. It's going to fill in some time. As for me, I got to talk. I am now September 12th, 2016, parked under the maple at St. Andrew Cemetery. My favorite spot, as I've just tweeted. I've got a bag of sandwiches beside me from the Red House Bakery. I've mentioned this place for over 20 years. Well, one way or another. The family found it. My wife found it, I guess. Mm. And you go in, it's $1.10 for, like, a baked bun with either tuna or pork or chicken in it. They're all good. And you get a 10% discount, whatever, when you have six or more. And I get them for my son, and then they wrap them individually. They just put them in clear plastic and heat seal them. So they'll keep for a couple of days if you need to and stay fresh. And, oh, boy, I just bit into this. One, they do, they chop up a hot dog wiener in little pieces and then wrap, like, almost like a donut around it. And, God, it's good. And it's just, like, it's just melt in your mouth fresh. Don't, I know you're not supposed to podcast and eat at the same time, but on the Dixon Chains podcast, I can do anything I fucking well want. So there's that rule gone. Busy and enjoyable weekend. So I guess a lot of this podcast is just taken up with me dragging you through the week, as I put it, telling you what I did and so on. So that's the journal part. And then I try to reflect on things that I'm feeling sometimes or issues that I think need to be aired and discussed, as you heard on the previous clip. So, let me get on with it. I'm just back from lawn bowling. Monday mornings is 4-3-2-1, and that's when you play three players on a team. And you, whoever gets closest to the jack, 4 points, next three, so on, right? And my first two games, I was terrible. I mean, I got a couple of zeros, but, you know, but then again, you're playing against, you know, players who've been bowling for 20 years. So you're in your first, you know, you've been at it for a couple of months at best. And you just see some of these wonderful shots. And then whoever wins that gets the highest score moves up a lane and or a rink. And somebody else, and the next person. So you're always moving around. You're playing three different games. And it's fun. It's really fun. And finally, in the last game, I got some decent shots. I got the jack, you know, closest to the jack. You get a four. Finally, I did that. So ended up feeling okay at the end of it. But a gorgeous September day, September 12th, to be out in the fresh air with a group of other people you would normally never meet. One of them, the guy I was bowling with, happened to be a scout leader. I had been for 20 years here in Scarborough. Everybody's got a story. The other people I told you lived in a camp, lived in a motorhome for 10 years. So it's fun, and I find, wow, I really like the idea of plugging myself into different social networks with real people in real time. And just connecting, you know, and play the game. You make the jokes and people are shooting. You congratulate every good shot and somebody hits your ball and takes you out and you make some pretend curse at the guy, you know. And it's just, it's good sportsmanship, but it's good fun and it's fresh air and exercise. Wow. So I'm delighted with this little part of my life. The season will be finishing very soon. And depending on what happens in the future, with regards to whether or not I purchase a road track, I don't know if I'll join next year. If I'm not going to be around, there's no point, but we'll see. On the road track front, my wife has moved from no to you always do what you want anyway, and I've never stopped you. So that's progress. Okay, that's progress there. I got to tell you, we had a wonderful, wonderful little weekend. We drove to Windsor, Ontario. Checked into a very nice hotel, the Best Western, right on Riverside. It is a great little hotel, reasonable price. Complimentary breakfast. Free Wi-Fi. Parking only $12 in and out. Great place. Nice room, you know, and beautiful view overlooking the Detroit River, the city of Detroit across the way. And, of course, the occasion was Shane and Lauren, or Shoren, as they like to put it, their wedding. And part of me is thinking, Jesus Christ, you know, it's expensive. The drive down and back, the hotel, the money you want to give as a gift, and, you know, whatever else you're doing. Holy fuck, it's an expense. Why don't I just come some other time and take them out to dinner and have time with them? But by the time we left, huddled together, hugging, me being the daddy at the very end of the night, because both Lauren and Shane don't have fathers, lost them early on. And there was a wonderful picture posted on the wall of the two of them and me in the middle, daddy. And God, that was a very nice feeling. It's joking, but it's a nice and it's a wonderful joke. And they were warm, close, bonding, loving, caring hugs. And that meant a hell of a lot. My dear wife enjoyed the part she certainly stayed for. It was a lovely ceremony. Outdoors, over a tent awning because the weather was iffy at Reno's kitchen. Reno was no longer running the kitchen. He is now a city councillor. But the food was just as good and wonderful, you know. Beer and wine and, boy, help yourself. Dig in. I had a bit too much. And then at the end of the evening, Tom, you know Tom, the other side of Shane and Tom, Tom was in and out running around because he had to look after his girls, and he's running two bars at the same time. So Tom drove us to the Fog Lounge just so I could step in the door, have a look. There was a band from Windsor playing, and they were really good. Another band coming up that would have been great that I wanted to stay for. But Tom said, no, come by and check my new bar. Can't remember the name of it. It's all over Facebook. I posted a picture. I could find it, I guess. A dance club. It was just weird because I've just not been in that kind of space. It was a huge bar upstairs, lineup outside of tons of what looked to me like kids, young people lining up to hear a DJ and get out on the dance floor. It was amazing. Here it is. I gotta zoom the. Oh, Rondo. R-O-N-D-O, the Rondo. So, congratulations, Tom, for taking on yet another bloody challenge. I mean, Jesus, hard enough running one bar, the Fog. Now you're taking on another one for the weekends. And the thing is, Tom got it because it was a huge venue with the potential to fill the hall if you got a really good live band, bigger than the Fog could handle. So, good for him. Wonderful with just to see these guys over the 10 years I've known them. How their lives have just gone and changed and progressed. And, wow, it's not only my life. It's changing. It's everybody else's. And I love that part of it, that interest, the tuning in. Now, there is another element to it because with Windsor and the life stories of Windsor, as I explained who people were and what their background stories were, we both agreed, my God, this sounds an awful lot like Coronation Street. And that's funny. You may not get it if you're not a fan of Coronation Street and you don't know the people involved in Windsor and you don't know the backstories. Well, you just have to take my word for it. But believe you me. Oh, yeah. There was another wedding in Windsor of somebody else I know. Other people going to that other wedding, people I know. That is a story in itself. But if you don't know the people involved, then it's probably, really of not much interest. So we'll just park that, okay? Just to say that, boy, if you're on Facebook following some of the same people I am, you're going to see an awful lot of wedding photos. Not only that, a third person, another guy I know from our college teacher, Anthony and Molly, also got married this weekend. Holy shit. And man, all three brides looked delicious. Let's just leave it at that. Let's just leave it at that. Yeah, they're supposed to, right? Hey, it's their day. But that was good. So here's another little point. My wife and I driving down. It's a four-hour drive to Windsor. We talked. I didn't put on a podcast. I had my podcaster, you know, and a little iPod ready to go. No. Because we realize we have very, very little time to talk. She's tired by the end of the day. We're watching Coronation Street. We're busy doing something or other. She's got her iPad out. I have my iPad out. Very little talking time. So we talked. And talked and talked. About the future. About our home. About our children. About this dream of mine to have an SUV. Or not an SUV, sorry. Yeah. An RV. Her response was, well, I'd rather take that $100,000 you're talking about and buy a nice car and stay in lots of nice hotels and motels along the way as I visited all these wonderful places and I wouldn't have to cook or do anything. And boy, oh boy, do I ever understand that. My thinking is just, well, yeah, it's $100,000. I didn't say it was much more than $100,000, but you take that money and then you have this thing you can sell at the end. So you're getting some of it back. You're going to take a beating, but Man. The more I talk about it, the more I realize the state of my health, the state of my life, the ticking clock, the need to stop teaching and retiring, you know, maybe keep the Come and Joe program going as long as possible, yes. The more I think towards the future, the more I really feel the need to do this. And now, 2017 has taken on this huge significance for me. You either just hang up and give up on your dreams and say, all right, man, go gentle into the night. Or say, whoa, hang on a little. It ain't over yet. I got a little life left to me yet. I got a little juice still inside me to keep me going. Pardon me if that sounds bizarre or ugly or... I'm just saying, I'm alive. And I'm not ready to give up just yet. And this idea of having an RV to get in there and fucking motor on across North America is really, really, really what's keeping me ticking, keeping me excited. So we'll see. Now, I was venting before. I'm going to vent again. Things that make me angry, like this is my own personal anger core this week. Excuse me. Take another bite. Now, there's been a news story that's come up, and quite a few have heard of it. I don't think the Anger Corps will pick it up, but I wish they would because it's an important story. Guy crossing the border into America was asked by border security, do you smoke marijuana? And the guy owned up to, yeah, but, you know, he's not bringing it with me. It turns out the guy is actually maybe a pot activist and had sold seeds and stuff and whatever. They just said, well, you were denied entry. You can't come in. Bam, turn around, go home. If you want to get in, you have to appeal, and the appeal will cost you, almost $800. And now... next time, of course, it's going up to $1,200. And these are not permanent. They might give you a one-year reprieve. It might be as far as three. Or they might not get it at all. Sorry, you're inadmissible. This is like Greta being booted out of the church because of her thinking. This is just even if you have smoked pot. So our government, I mean, this has become an issue. So it's not just him, it's other people. This is big. He wanted to take his little girl to Disneyland. He's not smuggling weed. He's not a killer. He's not a contract murderer. He's not dealing, in shit drugs that are killing people, heroin or smack or crack cocaine. It's just good, pot-smoking decent guy, but he wasn't traveling then. He didn't get caught with it in his car. He just owned up to the fact that, yeah, he's smoked. And now the word is out. Any one of these officers can ask you at any border crossing, going into the fucking United States of America, Canadian citizens at the border can be fucking told, do you smoke or have you smoked marijuana? If the answer is yes, you are inadmissible. You cannot come in. You can appeal it, pay your $1,200. Maybe you'll get a reprieve, maybe not. Fuck you. Now, fuck you, America, once more, goddammit. Rein in those assholes. What the fuck does it matter if somebody has smoked pot in their life? 65, 68-year-old man like myself? Of course, if I grew up in the 60s, of course I fucking smoked marijuana. Jesus fucking Christ. Well, suddenly this has become an issue. And our government is saying, we can't tell you to lie because you don't want to get caught lying. We can't tell you to lie, however. And they kind of left it at that. The implication being, if you're asked that question, deny. Just say no. Now, if they catch you out and they go back and somebody says, well, hang on there. Let's cross-reference this guy, you, who's showing me your passport. Oh, hey, wait a minute. Hey, up pops this other connection. Scarborough, do you know the Scarborough dude? Oh, you are the Scarborough. Oh. And on this podcast, didn't you just admit? Didn't you just own up? Just smoking? Don't you have it? Didn't you even post fucking pictures? Hey, I'm giving it to you now because this is so unjust, so unjust, so wrong, so clearly a violation. The fucking Soviet Union does that kind of shit back in the heyday of communism. It should not be the American government. It should not be border officials asking you if you smoke marijuana. Yeah, yeah, you can't come in. Because I'm the fucking law. God damn it, that's awful. I really mean that's awful. This is just morally indefensible. So what if somebody smoked marijuana? They're not bringing it across. You might be with your wife, your children. You're just crossing the border to spend money in America at an crazy exchange rate. Not to do harm. A law-abiding, good Canadian citizen denied entry because in the past you may have smoked marijuana. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you again, America. Jesus Christ. And again, this is not directed against my friends across the border. This is just the pig-headedness of your goddamn fucking stupid ideology sometimes. So I won't even go into all the other politics. I mean, I've already, okay, but the reason, one of the reasons, I could end up buying a very, very expensive mobile home and not be able to cross the border. Only being able to go east-west, run across Canada how many times, and never get down to Florida, never get to California, never get to Nevada, never get to Texas, never get to Wyoming, never get to Colorado, never. Because somebody might ask me, have you smoked marijuana? And I say no. And somebody decides they'll go through my social media and decide, well, gee, buddy, you're lying. That's even worse. Don't even bother applying, spending $1,200 getting a reprieve. Fuck you. God damn it, that's disgusting. I mean, I am really angry about this. And you may say, well, why that? Well, what the fuck do you mean, why that? What kind of grounds is that from keeping somebody out of your country because in the past they may have smoked marijuana? How do you give these border officials, like fucking southern sheriffs, that kind of power? These are the kind of things a fucking anger corps should be angry about. But, of course, they're not. Well, if you're in America, you know, it's not a big deal. Canadians aren't going to do that to you. You don't have to care. You don't have to worry. God damn it. Anyway, well, should stop there. But it bothers me. It bothers me, the stupid United Church. You know, they're saying, oh, well, hang on, there'll be one more chance. Maybe if you're lucky, maybe we'll hold it back and maybe we'll let her stay. Maybe. Not likely, but maybe. So, yeah, there's things to be angry about. And there's bigger issues, of course, the world situation. I'm not even going to go there. It's beyond the scope of what I'm capable of doing right now with any degree of reasonableness and objectivity. This is a subjective feeling, but there's no objective. There's no reason for those questions. And that's a warning. When our own government, the Canadian government, has come out and say, whoa, hey, we need you to know this. But what can we say, you know? We can't do anything about it. This is one of the reasons Canada has been so late legalizing pot, because this very same rhetoric came out 30, 40 years ago when the Ledeen Commission said, yeah, go ahead, legalize this stuff. This is not a problem. In America, very clearly the message, oh, no, you don't. You do that, your border is fucking sealed, man. You aren't getting those transport trucks across. You're in fucking trouble. We will just, bam, close down those borders if you try and legalize that shit. Because we got a war on drugs going on here. Yeah, a well-thought-out, fucking smart war on drugs. How many people have died? How many people have suffered? How many people got fucking 20-year sentences for smoking weed? You stupid fuckers. How could you be this beacon of the world, this America with its great potential, its wonderful hope for the underprivileged, have such ignorance and pigheadedness and stupidity? You stupid fuckers. Okay, I don't know. You know, I'm not, it's not you, it's not everybody. And meanwhile, yes, I want Dick Cheney in jail. And yes, Rumsey and all those other fuckers I want in jail. And yes, I have a lot of anger about this country. And yes, this is probably unpleasant, but fuck you too. No, I'm sorry. All right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize to my Dixon Jane's listeners. I'm sorry. I just had to do that. I needed to get that out of my system because it really is having an impact. It really frightens me. The fact that I could spend, make a huge life decision. And believe me, it is a big life decision. Because it could mean selling a house and everything else. To get a machine that I can drive North America in. This wonderful, wonderful, wonderful dream. And go and visit my friends. And have wonderful experiences to to podcast about, to celebrate, to enjoy, to make every day count. And because of one silly question that anybody, anywhere could ask any time at any border, I could be denied entry. That weighs heavily on me. Goodbye.
How fickle my heart and how woozy my eyes. I struggle to find any truth in your lies. And now my heart stumbles on things I don't know. My weakness I feel I must finally show. Lend me your hand and we'll conquer them all. But lend me your heart and I'll just let you fall. Lend me your eyes, I can change what you see. But your soul you must keep totally free. Ha, 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 ha. On things I don't know. My weakness I feel I must finally show. Ha, 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 ha. In these bodies we will live, in these bodies we will die. Where you invest your love, you invest your life. In these bodies we will live, in these bodies we will die. And where you invest your love, you invest your life.
Check. That's water and waves and a little bit of wind in the background. So, yes, I just set up my folding chair here at Bluffers Park. It is a gorgeous fall day. September 15th, 2016. Seems very significant. September 15th, September 30th. That's my company year end, but it's... They seem important. I think because I set deadlines. Oh, geez, things have got to be done today. I was going to send out an email to all the subscribers of the Dixon Jane Zine saying, hey, I'm not so sure I want to keep going with this. I'm not getting a whole lot of feedback. Not that many people seem to be into it. I don't know if I'm really up to nagging people. Can you write a story? Okay, here's a new deadline. It's never too late. By the way, I need more money to keep this going another year. I only last $160 last year. God, having said that, makes me think I've already made up my mind. Hey, it's over. An experiment. It was worth trying. It's too bad because, I mean, I like the idea. I still think it's cool. But unless there's really a groundswell, is that the right term? Of support. Of encouragement, of people saying, yeah, man, let's do it. Here's an article, here's something else, and by the way, here's another $20, you know, and so on. But don't do it now. I mean, wait for that email, because I'll I don't know. Will I even put it to a vote? Ideally, it would be a little survey, you know, click here. Yes, I want to, no, I don't want to pay. Don't bother this year. I had enough last year. You know, stuff like that. So that's one topic. Perhaps it is the end of the zine. It is a lot of work. If my plans that I'll continue to talk about for getting on the road in a road trek go ahead next spring... I'm not going to be in any position to collect all these stories unless I invest in a new MacBook or something, and I don't think I want to do that. You know, where would I go to? Man, oh man. Yeah, I mean, I could do it. And you just drop in anywhere, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. You go into a print shop, a business depot, and say, here, make me 75 copies of this, you know. But I guess we'll leave that for now. Decision's not being made. I was going to make that decision or send out that letter today. Maybe the new deadline is September 30th. I don't know. But I did do something good today. First of all, I went back to my pain specialist doctor and had another series of injections, seemingly less hurtful than the first one. The first one just seemed to be a little more... Ew! There seemed to be more of them. And I asked the guy, I said, this seemed to go really fast. He said, it was exactly the same as last time. This is a no-nonsense kind of doctor. Anyway, I'm going for one more series in 2 weeks, and that'll be it. And we're assuming this might do a lot to alleviate the back pain. I think he's just loading up the back with cortisone. I'm not sure really what's going on. He watches it through a sort of a scanner, and they find out where they're going to put the needles in and so on. My blood pressure is always good when I'm there. It's a surprise, because usually when I go to my own doctor, maybe it's a longer walk to the doctor's office, I don't know, but my blood pressure is always high. And here, it's bam, right in the normal zone. So that's good. Okay, so this is the end of Dixon Jane's 400, what is it, 79, 89, I don't know, 4, it must be 79, I don't know, it doesn't matter, you know, just look at the number on this damn thing, and I've only got 8 minutes left, and I've already used half, so what I think I'm going to do, because I've got a whole lot in me that needs to get out, is end this, start a new one right away, and so I can put this out as soon as I get home. But wasting precious time telling you what I'm gonna do. We'll have already done it by the time you hear this. Here's the thing. After going to that doctor, I came home, you know, you watch TV, have too much to eat for lunch, watch How It's Made. God, I love that show. That and Mighty Ships and the Mayday Discovery Channel. I also went to Deja Vu and bought the second disc by Mumford & Sons. And I've been playing it in the car, and there's only been one song, I Will Wait For You, you know, everybody knows that one, that I like, and the rest I don't give a shit about on first listen. And I'm kind of sorry about that, because I found a song that I've just played prior to this clip by Mumford & Son, which my son turned me on to, and loved it so much. It's the one I'm going to take to the next church meeting with Greta and Scott and say, I want you to look at the lyrics to that and listen to this and open it up to interpretation. So then, of course, I went on iTunes. Oh, boy, there's two more that I want to get. Then I thought, no, just go to Deja Vu. At least that way you pay about the same, but you get a disc, too, a real disc to play in your car. And did that, and then right away felt guilty because, well, man, you say you're broke. There's no more money going to be coming in. You got to start learning not to buy things you don't need. On the other hand, there's a Van Morrison disc I picked up and tried and didn't get. And then there was a special two-set disc by Love, like 1964 to 72, a collector's item. You know, two full discs, half the songs, which I already have, but man, I wanted that. And I held that in my hands, and I took out the pamphlet, and I thought, I'm never going to see this again. But like, it was $21, maybe $23, $24 with tax. I couldn't justify it. I couldn't justify getting it. And now, of course, I want it. Now that I don't have it, I'm just one of these people. Sometimes I need things and I spend money I shouldn't. But I know I'm not the only one out there. Jesus, look at Anthony's bourbon. Look at Jason's radios. Look at the rest of you guys. The only guy I know who doesn't waste money is Barnacle Bill. And he doesn't have any to waste. So just goes to show you. I always can find an excuse. Anyway, I didn't get it. Damn. And now there's no time. All right, last story. Oh, so after that, I felt guilty. Oh, I haven't done enough today. So I went and actually registered for physiotherapy to see a specialist. I was glad. I read through all the doctors' names and they were this and that. And I saw one that I knew was a female, and I knew she was from India, and I knew she'd do a great job. I guess that's the last thing. Most of my listeners here are plain vanilla, I'm guessing. I'm just saying that, just in general terms. I have a lot of plain vanilla listeners to the Dixon James podcast, because that's what Dixon James was, plain vanilla kids. And man, the world I live in, the school I teach at, the students I teach, everywhere I go in Scarborough is anything but plain vanilla. I am the minority. And the name of every doctor at this place was of a different ethnic group. Everybody I encountered walking in and out of that place, it's quite amazing. And yet, I mean, I'm comfortable with it. Going to my pain doctor. My God. It's just amazing. This is a different world that I live in from probably the world you live in if you're in some small white town. And it's okay. It's okay. Anyway, I've gone over my limit. I had a story to tell that really is awful because, all right, in keeping with being mad, a guy walked into the same clinic, sat down grunting and fucking groaning, a pig of a man, covered in, I don't know, scars up and down his arm. I'm guessing, beaten up in a gang war or something. Huffing and puffing, carrying in a bag of fucking lunch, sets it down, fucking honks his nose into a big wad of paper towel, and sets it on the fucking table right beside him. And eats like... God, it was disgusting. I thought, fuck, do I want to go to a place that's got pigs like him coming in and touching all the shit in that place? Is this where I want to go for my physiotherapy? You're serving a fucking pig, subhuman like this? God damn, it was awful. He comes up. He said, well, you got to sign in now. He comes up, stands there right across the receptionist, who was exceedingly nice and attractive and wonderful and friendly, and made me want to come there. Okay, whoa. And I stand aside so he can sign in on this digital. And what does he do? He belches three times loudly, like, really disgusting. So I'm sorry, it's a disgusting way to end my podcast, but God damn, that just made me angry. and this is an angry podcast. That was something to be fucking angry about, you subhuman. Why don't we just give you a nice little injection? You'll go to sleep, and that'll be that. We won't have to deal with you anymore.